these things the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless his word. This is a time when Abraham has met with strife and with great adversity. There was strife among the herdsmen, Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen, and it of course led to that time of division, that time of separation. And then after that we find Lot, who had sought out the well-watered plains, we find that there was an uprising, and the kings of the east came, invaded the place. Lot was taken captive, and Abram had to send his armed men in order to rescue him. And in the midst of that circumstance, we find Abram in a time of fear, in a time of uncertainty. And you can see that in verse number 1, because the Lord drew near to him, and the Lord spoke to him, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And the Lord's word on this occasion addressed what was going through Abraham's mind and heart. The word of the Lord addressed his fears. The Lord never speaks a needless word. And when the Lord said, Fear not, it indicated that fear had filled Abraham's heart. And so all that had taken place, all that was around him, all that had enveloped him, was beginning to impress itself upon his mind and upon his heart, so much that he fears. He fears that now he may be a target. He has rescued Lot, his nephew. He has seen the overthrow of that uprising from the kings of the east. And now he's afraid in the aftermath that perhaps he is vulnerable. Perhaps there will be reprisal. There will be revenge. And so the Lord speaks to him and he addresses his fears. On this occasion, Abraham asks the Lord concerning his own particular situation. He says in verse 2, What wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Behold, thou hast given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. At this point, he and Sarah are childless, and Abraham's thinking to himself that his servant will become his heir. He's going to have to adopt his servant to be his heir. And the Lord speaks to him. He said, This shall not be thine heir, but rather he that shall come out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And so he gives them the great promise again that he will have seed, he and his wife will have offspring, and it will be natural. And in order to illustrate this, the Lord takes him into the plain and he causes him to look up in verse 5 toward the heaven. And he says, Look up toward heaven, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And so the Lord is giving him this tremendous promise, this tremendous assurance that he's going to have a natural son. And not only that, but the seed that shall proceed from Abraham and Sarah will be so numerous that it will be like the stars of heaven. And the Lord uses the illustration of the stars. He points them to the stars in order to confirm and reinforce his promise. And then we have this statement in verse 6, he believed in the Lord. He believed in the Lord. After the Lord had pointed him to the stars and said, Abraham, look at those stars. Look at their number. Look how vast they are. Look at their multitude. Can you number them? So shall thy seed be. And it was that creative display, that display of creative power, that convinced Abraham's heart in relation to the promise of God. And the Bible says here that he believed in the Lord. What a promise this was. And it was a promise illustrated by the stars of the sky. Turn over to chapter 22 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 17. Again, the Lord brings this great promise. This is the time now when the Lord has asked Abraham, called him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. The promise is now fulfilled. But the Lord asks him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And it would seem as if this in itself would threaten the very promise that his seed would be as vast as the stars for multitude. But Abraham submits to the Lord. He presents Isaac on the altar. He's prepared to slay him. And the Lord intervenes. And in verse 15, the angel of the Lord called on to Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. So if Isaac had died, there would have been no natural seed. But Abraham, of course, believed that even if he had died, the Lord would raise him up. And we learn that from Hebrews 11. The Lord emphasizes that he is his only son. And then he reiterates the promise that in blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. This is the gospel promise. It's not just a natural offspring that is in view here, but from the natural offspring of Abraham will come one who will reverse the curse and bring the blessing of the gospel. So this promise concerning his seed is not only natural, but it's spiritual. It pertains to Christ and the great work of redemption, redeeming the church of Jesus Christ through the Redeemer, by the work of the Redeemer who would come from the seed of Abraham. So you have this promise illustrated by the stars of the sky. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10, and there you will find the promise fulfilled concerning the natural seed. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 22. Moses is addressing the congregation of Israel as he nears his own death, the end of his life upon this earth. A new generation has risen up, about to enter in to the promised land. And this is what he reminds them. Verse 22 of Deuteronomy 10. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. Remember, it began with one, with Isaac. And then came Jacob and Jacob's 12 sons. And you see there how they have gone down into Egypt, 70 persons. And now, 400 years later, now, the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Now you stop and think about it. When Moses climbed up Mount Sinai, what did he see in the valley below? He saw the congregation of Israel. He saw the tents of all the people, of all the tribes. And as he looked out over that vast multitude, what came to his mind? The promise that God gave to Abraham. Look up, Can you tell the number of the stars? So shall thy seed be. And Moses is looking out over the vast company. And he realizes God has fulfilled his promise. This is the fulfillment of God's promise. Abraham and Sarah passed the age of childbearing. Sarah's womb barren and dead. Abraham, in relation to offspring himself, was dead. But yet from them came one. And then from Isaac came Jacob and Esau. From Jacob came the tribes, the 12 sons. And then that multiplied. And Moses is now witnessing the fulfillment of God's promise. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 9. I want you to see how this is emphasized in or throughout the Old Testament scriptures. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse number 23. On this occasion, the congregation is assembled and they're being addressed by the Levites, and they begin to pray. They're addressing the Lord in this chapter. And verse 23, their children also, this is what they're saying to the Lord, their children also multipliest thou as the stars of heaven. This is the promise brought again, the promise fulfilled. And remember that Nehemiah lived at a time after the captivity, when Jerusalem had been destroyed. The people were taken away into captivity. And it seemed as if there was the possibility that the nation would perish. But now the nation is preserved. And they are brought back to the land, restored. And what do the people realize? They realize this is God's promise. God's promise. Thou hast multiplied them as the stars of heaven. If you go back just there to 1 Chronicles chapter 27. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. Verse 23, chapter 27, verse 23. But David took not the number of them from 20 years old and under, because the Lord had said he would increase Israel like to the stars of heaven. Now, David should not have numbered the children of Israel. But when he did, he didn't take the number of those who were 20 years and under. And here we have this reference made, because the Lord had said he would increase Israel like to the stars of heaven. Notice the little phrase, the Lord had said. Why did this happen? It was because the Lord said it would happen. It was the promise. And the promise was illustrated by the stars of heaven. And the promise was fulfilled throughout the course of history. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 12. The reference here in the hall of faith is to Abraham and Sarah. Verse 11, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. There's the promise fulfilled. God said to Abraham, look, can you tell the number of the stars? So shall thy seed be. He illustrated the promise by his creative power displayed in the stars of the heaven. And now that promise is fulfilled. You have those repeated references that Israel has multiplied like the stars of the heaven. God has fulfilled his promise. But that brings us to consideration of this promise, the promise considered. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 26. Now remember, the Lord said to Abram on that occasion, look up and tell the stars. Can you number the stars? That was given to Abraham. But here is an exhortation that's given to us. Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. And again, the Lord now is speaking to the entire body of the redeemed. And he's saying, look up. As Abraham had to look up. And what do you see? What do you see when you observe the stars? God said to Abraham, these stars are the evidence of my power, the evidence of my ability to do what I have said. And now the very same exhortation is being given to us. Look at the stars and consider the one who has created them, because he brings out their host by number. He made them all, and he knows their number. And furthermore, he knows their name. If you turn back to Psalm 147, verse number 4, the Bible says, he telleth the number of the stars. You see, Abraham couldn't count the stars. The so-called experts tell us that when you look up with the naked eye on a clear night, that you can see just with your eye what you see there adds up to about 2,000 stars. But that's only a speck. There are millions upon millions upon billions of stars. God says they are innumerable to man. But notice what this verse is telling us. He telleth the number of the stars. The Lord knows exactly how many stars there are. And furthermore, he calls them all by their names. He's given them all a name. Every star, he's given them all a name. Look at verse 5, Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. That's what we should see when we look up at the stars. We should see the evidence of God's power, the evidence of God's ability. We should see the greatness of God. We should see his infinity. His understanding is infinite. It's unlimited. He is of great power. And that's exactly what Abraham saw. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And in this passage, Paul uses Abraham as an illustration and an example of faith. And he quotes from Genesis 15, the same passage that we read. He quotes from this passage. Because he believed the Lord, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. But look what it says there in verse number 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So this is the occasion when God says, look up to the stars, so shall thy seed be. And notice what happened on that occasion. And Paul is referring to this. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed the Lord, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Now notice this. Why was Abraham fully persuaded that God was able to perform his promise? What persuaded him? The stars of the heavens. God said, look, Abraham. God pointed him to the visual display of his creative power, the visual evidence of his ability. And he said, Abraham, can you number the stars? And Abraham begins to number them, and maybe he got to 2,000, and then he realized, but Lord, this is all that my naked eye can see. But how vast this universe. And he begins to think, the stars are innumerable, and yet God created them all. And if God did this, then he can do as he has said concerning my offspring, concerning my seed. And he staggered not. What enabled, or what caused Abraham not to stagger? It was the stars. The evidence of God's power. He staggered not. What made him strong in faith? The evidence of God's power in the stars. What fully persuaded him so that he had no doubt whatsoever that God was able to do this and produce a natural heir from Abraham and Sarah? What persuaded him? It was the stars. And therefore he gave glory to God. He glorified God. Isaiah, in that passage, Isaiah chapter 40, he talks there about the strength of God's power, strong in power. What a tremendous statement. Strong in power, the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. The Lord preserves every star, and not one fails. Abraham could go out every night, and he could see the same stars, the patterns that he could see with his natural eye hadn't failed. And he realized that's God's power. And therefore, if God can do this, then he can do also what he has said concerning my seed. And he believed God. He believed the Lord. That night, Abraham heard the silent sermon in the stars. The silent sermon in the stars. The continual, perpetual message of the stars pointing to the greatness of God and therefore God's ability to do what he has promised. And you can take that concerning any promise. That promise was particular to Abraham concerning his seed and his offspring. But you take any promise that God has given, and what is the evidence that God can perform it? His creative power. Look up. Look up. See the stars. Oh, what a testimony. What a witness to the power of God. And Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. May the Lord help us to stagger not at his promises, but may we receive assurance from the evidence of his power in the stars above.